folks out there who really wanted to know when some freaky deaky science stuff only understood by nerds zapped her into old radio shows, the kind you might never have heard. Now she should probably be trying to get out, but Madison, she's having fun living an old time radio life. Our explanation is done.
Madison is on the air.
And now, another personally guided tour through Rogue's Gallery.
Madison speaking. Well, tonight you're going to meet some charming people, and you're going to run into a little bit of a very fancy murder. The name of the story is Little Drops of Rain. I started the adventure still confined to my hospital bed, but my nurses, my nurses. Yes, they're beautiful and tender and what the heck am I saying? Ah! Oh, God, this is so predatory and gross. Nurses are girls, and girls are my favorite pastime. Yuck! What's happening? Nurses are valuable medical professionals, not strippers here for our sexual gratification. Ew! Okay, shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. Okay, here we go. And that brings me to the girl who has done the most to confuse my life. Liza. The girl I was so sincerely in love with a couple of months ago. I showed up at her apartment for a date. OMG! Okay, so this show is Rogue's Gallery, and it follows the private detective, Richard Rogue. I think he's still hanging on somehow. I can't seem to fully shake his dialogue. Maybe it's just the monologue. Let's cut to the first scene. Play the music!
Madison, are you going to be playing my piano all night?
I don't even know how to play piano.
I thought we were going out.
And you are?
Very funny. I don't want to go to a nightclub tonight. I'm too tired. Let's just go to a show, shall we?
Anything you say, Eliza, baby. That's the kind of guy I am.
Elijah.
Right, Elijah. I said Liza, who is Richard Rogue's girlfriend. Two people I don't know and have never met.
I want to see Arsenic and Old Lace. It's playing at the Rialto.
Cary Grant's in that, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Let's shimmy then. Shimmy? What does that even mean? It's like I'm speaking in tongues.
Cary Grant? Do you think he's prettier than I am?
Well, you're not in pictures, Angel.
Do you think he's prettier than I am?
You're a different type.
Are you going to answer me?
Ho ho ho! You're jealous! Okay, that is the absolute wrong way to answer her. Him. If your date asks if someone is prettier than they are, you 100% say absolutely not. I'm guessing this Rogue guy doesn't get laid very often.
Then maybe you should just go home.
Aw, come on, baby. How can you be jealous of a guy I don't even know? Give me a kiss.
No.
Oh, but baby, I love you. I love you like anything. Yuck. This guy is really bad at this. All right. Forget it then. I don't care.
You're insufferable, Madison Standish.
Aw, now quit pouting. Come on over here, on the bench by me. Dude, I can't believe that worked. The reverse psychology thing! Liza! Elijah! Get some self-esteem! This guy's a playa!
Are we going to a show or not?
Sure. Get your lipstick on again. Okay, that's rude. And we'll see what...
Oh.
I'll get it.
No, I'll answer it. It's probably Georgina.
Georgina? You got other girlfriends?
Jealous. Hello?
Is Madison Standish there?
It's for you.
Why am I getting a call at your place?
Didn't you give your call service this number?
What the heck is a call service?
Are you going to answer the telephone or not?
Man, I'm starting to feel like I'm in over my head on this one. And not in a fun way. Hello?
This is your call service, Miss Standish. We've got a call for you.
Okay.
You want that I should patch it through?
Who is it?
Yeah, good question. Who is it?
Mr. Hazel Burgess.
Mr. Hazel Burgess? Are we dealing with pronoun identity? In the 40s?
It's the husband of Hazel Burgess. Husbands always take their wives' names.
This is getting trippy.
Miss Standish, you there? He says it's very important.
Okay. Put him on.
Right.
Why is Mr. Hazel Burgess calling you?
Does any of this exchange make you think I have a freaking clue what's going on?
Hello, Miss Standish?
Yeah. I'm here.
This is Mr. Hazel Burgess. I must see you at once.
Like, now?
What about our show?
You're getting a little demanding.
I must see you tonight. Immediately. It is most important.
Can't you just tell me on the phone?
Oh, no, I can't. Could you come to my house at once?
Okay. What's the address?
You're going to his house?
You've played out this jealousy thing. It's not cute anymore. It's annoying.
485 Hillcrest. You'll be well paid for your time. Please hurry.
I'll be right there, Mr. Hazel.
Just like that, you're leaving.
Wait for me. I'll be right back, honey.
Go on. Go on out to see Mr. Burgess.
Look, dude, this is a job. How do you think I could afford to take you to the movies if I don't get paid?
Don't mind me, Dick Tracy.
Passive-aggressive much? Okay, this is starting to hit a little close to home. If this is a page out of my playbook, I'm gonna have to come back with a gift or he won't put out. Well, I left Elijah burning like Mrs. O'Leary's barn? Ooh, historical reference. Maybe you Chicagoans will get that one. But what could I do? Mr. Hazel Burgess was the husband of a tycoon with a dollar for every Democrat in Georgia. Okay, I have no idea what that means. But the way the Republicans are gerrymandering Georgia, a dollar for every Democrat would probably make Hazel broke.
The Burgess Mansion was a huge colonial affair. A butler, who talked like she was choking to death on an olive pit,
gross,
conducted me into the library and into the presence of Mr. Hazel Burgess. And oh my, what a presence. He was sitting in front of the open fire, filling out a hostess gown that didn't straighten out any of the curves that he featured.
A hostess gown is like a loungy robe thingy that was worn for at-home entertaining?
I pulled my eyes back into my head and tried not to look too interested.
Sit down, Miss Standish.
Oh, thank you, but I'm in a bit of a hurry, Mr. Burgess. As a matter of fact, I...
Miss Standish, my wife is making a fool of herself.
Over 30 and going alone to Taylor Swift concerts? Have her take a neighbor's 12-year-old. Then she'll just look like a hip mom.
She's lost her mind completely over the secretary in her office, a boy by the name of Alan Stark.
Any relation to Tony Stark? Gotta be the first Iron Man, though. Yeah, I could see tapping that age, Robert Downey Jr.
I mean that she prefers his company to mine.
Well, that doesn't sound reasonable, if you'll pardon me for saying so.
Ew, rogue, keep it in your pants.
You have to help me, Miss Standish. You have to bring Hazel back to her senses.
Oh, dude, once they cheat, cut them loose. You don't want that back. Trust is lost. And body fluids have been exchanged. Yick.
Miss Standish, please. I'm so alone.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Good grief. You mean to tell me that Hazel is neglecting you? What you need to straighten Hazel out is a psychiatrist, not a detective. Hazel is definitely off her trolley.
Off her trolley? Rogue talks like a mom trying to sound cool around her teenager's friends. Word up, kids!
Please help me, Miss Standish. She's with him right this minute.
Wait, right now? How do you know? I mean, without being able to track her phone. Which I've only done in emergency situations. Trust, you know, goes both ways.
When she left the house tonight, I followed her. She went to the home of her best friend, Clara Roman. I parked across the street. I was going to face them, but I saw Miss Roman leave and I lost my nerve. That's when I called you. Oh, Miss Standish, I want you to go out there and talk to Hazel. Tell her I know all about her and that Stark boy, and I'm suing her for divorce.
Aw, I don't like to get in the middle of domestic disputes. Ever since I tried to step in when my sister-in-law was cheating, but it turns out she really was going to a pottery class every Tuesday night, which we realized when my brother got arrested confronting her at that Color Me Mine.
Please! I don't want to divorce Hazel, but I do want her back. And I'm sure that if you'll do as I say, she'll come back. You must do it for me, Miss Standish. Here's an envelope with $500.
$500, huh? All my brother gave me were my nephews to babysit.
That's your fee for going out there with me, Miss Standish, and trying to bring Hazel back to her senses. You'll do it for me, won't you, Miss Standish?
Sure, I guess. But just know, you might catch them in the act, and that's a mental picture worth 1,000 curse words.
Ring it again.
All right, let's dial it down there, bud. I was saving my last Vicodin, but you might need it.
I know my wife's here. There's a convertible out front, right where she left it tonight when I followed her out here.
How did the boy arrive? Sounds pretty condescending to call him boy. So unless girl is girl, don't use it. I'm sorry, how did he arrive?
In his car. Oh, his car isn't here. It was right behind Hazel's.
Then I guess we missed the party.
Try the door. I know Hazel is still here.
All right. You're an old friend of Roman's, I suppose.
Yes? Why?
Just want to know before I try to open the door. You see, there's laws against that sort of thing. Oh, yeah. Like when a totally high Robert Downey Jr. walked into his neighbor's house and went to sleep in their spare bedroom? Ooh, that was Chaplin-era Downey. Definitely tappable. Door's unlocked. Do we go in?
Yes.
Okay, after you.
The living room is over here.
Clearly nobody's here. Look, Mr. Burgess, we really should get out of here. Neither of us are Oscar-nominated bad boys with a father in the entertainment industry who could keep us out of jail.
No. I know Hazel's in this house someplace, and I'm going to find her. I can't... What are you sniffing for?
Hang on. Do you smell that?
What? I don't smell anything.
You don't smell chloroform? Oh, that's what chloroform smells like. Huh. It's like something I might try at a bar, and then wonder later how I got so drunk.
Chloroform?
Yeah, according to Richard Rogue's nose. Why don't you take a look upstairs? I'm gonna shake down the first floor. Shake down? All right, first floor, you gonna pay up? Or am I gonna tell the second floor just what you've been up to?
Miss Standish?
Oh, just go upstairs.
I'm frightened.
Mr. Burgess was very fetching when he was frightened. Jeez, this guy is so horny, even his monologues need a cold shower. Mr. Burgess finally went upstairs, and I went to work. I took the living room first and looked behind all the couches and in all the dark corners. What is this, hide and go seek? Come out, wherever you are! Hazel, you cheating bitch! I was bending over, looking under a huge Italian carved table, when I thought I heard a stealthy footstep behind me.
Don't move.
Oh, I forgot. This Richard Rogue guy gets knocked unconscious every episode. Oh, that's gonna leave a mark. Ugh. Oh, my ears were still full of that ringing scream Mr. Burgess let out when I caught that suck behind the ear and drifted gently through space towards cloud number 8 and my alter ego. Oh, right. When Rogue is knocked out, it gets all surreal and he talks to some, I don't know, weird little elf-type person or something?
Hello, Madison. Welcome home.
You know me?
Why, sure. I'm Nosedam, your alter ego.
What the hell kind of name is Nosedam?
I said, I'm your alter ego. Nosedam is Madison spelled backwards.
Oof. Good thing my name isn't Lana.
We really are opposites. I graduated high school without having to give my geometry teacher a lap dance.
Ouch. Damn. If my alter ego is the bitch, does that mean I'm the nice one?
Keep telling yourself that. Maybe it'll sink in past those black roots.
Is there a point to this acid trip, or do I just need to ride it out?
Oh, Maddie, you go prowling around in a strange house and get caught at it and knocked out? Shame, shame, shame.
Doesn't Rogue's alter ego usually share a clue or some insight into the case?
Oh, you want insights! Well, what do you want to know? How you've lived this long and not gotten chlamydia?
Whoa!
Or who your real father is.
My real father?
Like mother, like daughter.
Okay, redirecting away from traumatizing me into crippling anxiety. Can you at least tell me why Mr. Burgess screamed?
No, find out for yourself. You're the detective.
Thanks so much for your help. Assuming you're part of my subconscious, be prepared for me to drink you into oblivion later.
Oh, don't be that way, Maddie. I will tell you one thing that I think you may have forgotten.
Yeah, what?
You got a date with Elijah, you know. He's still waiting.
Let him wait. Like I need to add to this headache.
Oh, alrighty. Time for you to wake up, Maddie.
Wake up? How do I... That's how.
Come on, Standish. Please, come on.
You didn't have to hit her so hard, Clara.
Oh, who hit me?
I'm Clara Roman, Standish.
That kind of stunt could cause brain damage, you know. How Richard Rogue manages to avoid severe brain trauma week to week is a testament to his physical stamina. Or bad writing.
I'm sorry, Standish. I came home and found my front door unlocked. I walked in, saw a strange woman prowling around my parlor. A man screamed, and I hit you with my cane.
You play softball? Because you swung for the bleachers.
Are you feeling better, Miss Standish?
And you! Why did you scream?
I found my wife upstairs. She's dead. Murdered!
Well, still better than finding her humping her secretary.
We'll return to our story in just a moment, but now I'd like to say something to the gentlemen.
Are you going to speak in a condescending tone that will fill the men listening with self-doubt and give them a feeling of dread about their personal appearance as if it's the most vital part of their existence?
Of course. Boys, do you ever feel like hanging your head in shame because your hair isn't, well, looking as nice as it should? Perhaps you get discouraged because every time you shampoo your hair, it seems dry and difficult to set. Then for your next shampoo, why not try Fitch's Saponified Coconut Oil Shampoo? The pure natural oils keep your hair from becoming dry and brittle. Your hair will be soft and lustrous, easy to set into your favorite hairstyle. You'll love the glorious quantities of fragrant lather that this shampoo makes. Ask for Fitch's Saponified Coconut Oil Shampoo at your drug counter, barber, or beauty shop.
Come on, boys. You need to look your best. You don't want your wife to cheat on you.
And now, a completely unrelated promo break.
Not since the late 1950s has horror been so scary. Giant Monster Production presents horror comedy at its best. Each issue's packed with action.
Shoot him, Pat! Shoot him!
Suspense!
Any hunter that figured out how to find them have all disappeared.
Heroism!
Oh, yes! Because the vampire is going to get me!
Romance!
Bruno Domenico!
Wisdom!
How am I gonna be able to start the fire if I wasted signaling for help?
Friendship!
I don't think it's that far of a drop. I think you'll be okay if he just tucks and rolls when he comes down and not land on his feet.
And acts of courage.
If we're being honest here, Bruno did kill both of them.
They are the last line of defense against the things that go bump in the night.
We are monster hunters, are we not?
Oh, the humanity. Tales of the Monster Hunters, presented in Monster Scope. New issues available bi-weekly. Wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, my name is Arthur DeHart, and I'm the owner and lead writer of Dreadwood Press Radio. Dreadwood Press Radio is a show about a crime-ridden town high up in the mountains. Starts off as an anthology where you hear about a gothic cowboy and a mysterious pawn shop on the edge of town where not everything in the forest is quite as it seems. You can find Dreadwood anywhere you stream your podcasts, and you can visit our website, deepwoodprod.com. If you want to send us an email or give us a shout, you can email us at deepwoodprod@gmail.com. And you can find us on Twitter at Radio Dreadwood. Thanks so much for listening, and hey, be safe out there.
Now back to Rogue's Gallery. Madison Standish is telling our story.
Well, I had accepted a case for Mr. Hazel Burgess, a suspicious husband. Yes, that's the Mr. Hazel Burgess of the Burgess Millions. You guys caught that Mr. Hazel Burgess thing, right? That he never has a first name, only his spouse's name? Today we're all worried about pronouns, but back then, women's identity was literally absorbed by their marriage. Anyway, skipping ahead, no need to repeat what happened in the first act. No one's tuning in late. Let's see, we left off with Mr. Burgess screaming.
My wife is upstairs. She's dead. Murdered.
Yep, that was it. And I was hit on the head, so thanks for playing the scream again. I got to my feet and ran up the stairs. Mr. Burgess and Roman were right behind me. Mr. Burgess directed me into the library, and there she was, as dead as last summer's romance. There's a body. That's poor taste. She had a neat little round hole right beneath the part in her hair. Hazel Burgess was a nice-looking old gal, about 50, which made her a good 25 years older than her husband. By the way, I'm retiring the word cougar. We'll just go with what older men with younger women are called. Lucky. Her widower was really taking her death big, which was natural. A man doesn't have a wife murdered every day.
Poor Hazel. This is horrible.
Has anything in this room been moved or touched? Forensics is basically in the Stone Age now, along with the cavemen attitudes towards women.
Well, I just arrived home.
When I looked inside and saw Hazel, I knew she was dead. I screamed.
Yes, heard the scream. Couple of times now. No need for a three-peat. Then you ran downstairs?
Yes, I saw Miss Roman hit you, and I ran down to tell her who you were.
A little late, but it's the thought that counts. Okay, you guys just don't touch anything. And don't move. Stay right there in the doorway.
Just who are you to be giving us orders?
The lead in the show. Either of you ever seen this gun before?
Yes.
Really? Okay, where?
It was Hazel's. She kept it in her desk at the office.
See? This is what happens with a gun culture. How did you recognize it so quick?
It has her initials on it. I can see them from here, inset in the butt of the gun.
Monogrammed gun. Lifestyles of the rich and armed.
So what are you thinking?
Well, definitely not suicide, seeing as how the gun was clear across the room. Survey says murder. I have the same reaction to Steve Harvey. Oh, dude, look at this. It's one of those, whatchamacallits?
A handkerchief?
Boom, yeah. I never understood why anyone uses those. Blow snot into a cloth napkin and then stick it in your pocket? Gross.
It looks like a very nice linen handkerchief with blood on it. And initials in the corner. A.S.
As?
Alan Stark! That's his handkerchief! He killed Hazel! He killed my Hazel!
Okay, still got some throbbing in the head here. Roman, you got a phone around here?
Yes, you'll find an extension in the hall.
Cool, okay, I'm gonna call the cops. You guys go downstairs. Far enough away for me to be out of crying range.
Come along, Mr. Burgess.
Well, no one can say he's not in touch with his emotions. Ugh, rotary phones and acrylic nails do not mix.
Homicide. Lieutenant Urban speaking.
Hey, Urban. It's Madison Standish. Sup?
Who's dead?
Hazel Burgess wise gal.
You mean it? You're mixed up in another murder, Standish?
I know, right? I should get, like, a police station punch card. One more murder and I get a free box of donuts.
Where are you?
At Clara Roman's house? 2120 Cypress Avenue. Better get the girls and get on out here.
We'll be right there. Stay there until I get there. Got it, Standish?
The cops in these shows are always so surly. The noir detectives do all the legwork. Show some appreciation.
Hello?
Oh, hello, Elijah, darling. This is Maddie.
Do you know what time it is?
Oh, sure, honey.
I'll give you 10 minutes to get back here and take me to that show.
But I... Hell hath no fury like a man scorned. Oh, good. Still crying. Roman, the cops will be here any minute. Tell Lieutenant Ehrman that I'll be right back, okay? Tell her I went out to get a murderer.
Of course. And, I hope you manage to catch him, Standish.
And maybe order up a double for this one. Alcohol numbs what ails ya.
Yes?
Hey, is Alan Stark here?
I beg your pardon. I'm a bit deaf. I couldn't hear you.
Oh, I said, is Alan Stark here?
Alan? I'm his mother.
Not what I asked. Is Alan here?
No, he isn't home this evening.
He isn't home?
He isn't home.
Do you know where he is?
Where he is?
Where he is!
No.
No?
No.
I feel like I'm trying to have a conversation in the middle of a rock concert.
What?
Dude, this is driving me crazy. If this Alan guy is really a murderer, he should have started with his mom.
What?
Murderer!
Murderer?
Your son, murderer!
What?
I'm gonna go. Thank you for your time.
Wait! My son is what?
Oh, it was gonna be tough for that old lady to realize her son was a killer.
What did you say about my son?
I hated the world as I walked down the steps from that porch and started for my car. I don't like murder. It upsets so many people who are not involved in the act, or the reasons for it. You know, that's really insightful. Pretty sensitive for noir.
Please, tell me about my son.
Shut up! I'm doing a monologue over here! I was heading down the walk, which was still wet from the rain, when, damn it! Then I noticed something peculiar. There were tire tracks running into the Stark garage. It had only stopped raining about 45 minutes before, and if that car had been driven into the garage while it was still raining, there would be no tracks. They would have been washed away. That's actually pretty observant. I totally would have missed that. I ran up to the driveway and opened the overhead garage door and jumped back. The garage was full of carbon monoxide. I wet my handkerchief in a puddle of rainwater. Wait, I don't have a handkerchief. Oh, what can I use? What can I use? I'll just pull the neck of my shirt up over my nose like one of those anti-maskers during COVID. I ran into the garage. I wrestled the door of the small coupe and saw a young boy unconscious slumped over the steering wheel. I pulled him out of there. He was dead weight. No kidding. I carried him into the house. Screw you, rogue.
Oh, Alan. Alan.
Your efforts are wasted there, lady. Dude's dead.
Dead?
Dead!
I'm going to call the Pull Motor Squad.
Pull Motor Squad? What is that, the Suicide Squad B team? Instead of supervillains, it's all just guys arrested for, like, shoplifting.
What?
Although, considering the circumstances, the name Suicide Squad might be more accurate.
Hello, fire department. Get a Pull Motor Squad to 640 Inglewood Drive. Thank you.
Okay, I give up. What is a Pull Motor Squad?
A Pull Motor Squad? A Pull Motor Squad pumps oxygen into a person's lungs.
Oh, well that sounds like it could be useful in this situation. You know, if he's not already brain dead.
What?
I got it! Yellow!
That you, Standish?
Hey, Lieutenant Ehrman! How'd you find me?
Roman said you went to the Stark place. Why didn't you stay put like I told you?
I came here to get the murderer, which I kinda did.
Kinda did? What are you talking about? Did you nail Alan Stark or not?
Nail a corpse? Even I have standards.
Corpse? What are you talking about?
Alan Stark committed suicide, but not in a cool Tony Stark sacrifice to save the universe kind of way.
Okay, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Don't go away.
See, dead Iron Man Robert Downey Jr., too old. Although, he was pretty hot in Barbieheimer. All those black and white scenes. Oh, and him on the beach without his shirt? No wonder Barbie was dating him. I gave Alan Stark my own interpretation of artificial respiration. Wow, Rogue actually took a phone call before he thought, hey, maybe some CPR might be helpful? Well, here goes nothing.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How many do I have to do?
Miss Standish, what are you doing?
Oh, wait, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation doesn't come around until the 50s. I bet that looked like I was making out with her son's body. Saved by the Suicide Squad. Urban arrived on the heels of the fire department, and she and I went out and looked around in the garage where we made some fascinating discoveries. The car had run out of gas and stopped turning over. Huh, I wonder if it's easier to commit suicide today with modern fuel-efficient cars. I made a little deal with Urban and went back to the Roman residence while she and the girls were being scientific. I sat in the parlor and talked to Mr. Burgess and Clara Roman. Mr. Burgess had recovered his poise to some extent, and they were both very anxious to know all about my daring capture of the Stark boy.
I'm glad he's dead. I couldn't stand a trial. I'm glad he committed suicide.
Yeah, I mean, suicide must have seemed like the only way out after leaving so much evidence behind that he'd killed Hazel. Like, even cops in those small towns who are always like, we never get murders here, we have no experience with this, would totes have been able to solve this case by lunch.
Oh, my poor darling Hazel.
Say, Roman, how well did you know the Stark boy?
Rather well. I'd see him around the office a great deal. Hazel was, well, not very discreet about the fact that she was fond of him.
Please, Clara. Hazel's dead. We should forget those things. She was a good wife. I don't know what life is going to be like without her.
I'm gonna guess that life without Hazel for you, Mr. Burgess, it's gonna be pretty short.
What do you mean?
I'm alluding to the fact that you and Clara here are gonna get the death penalty for murder.
That's a serious accusation, Standish.
I know, right? And unfortunately for you two, in the 1940s, capital punishment is legal in California. Gas chamber. You should have waited till the early 70s. After that, it keeps going back and forth with moratoriums and stuff, all the way up to modern day.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that you guys picked the absolute wrong time in history to commit murder in California.
Murder?
Your wife wanted the divorce, didn't she, Mr. Burgess? She knew you were going to be here tonight with Miss Roman, her best friend. Oh, dude! Cheating with the best friend? So Hazel came to surprise you with Alan Stark for a witness, didn't she? And you, Miss Roman, you killed her, and then you had to kill Alan Stark to shut him up. Whoa! Okay, I can honestly say of all the times I cheated with my boyfriend's best friend, not once did it end in murder. Vandalism, sure, and 1, 2, 3 fires, but no murder.
This is preposterous.
You were right, Standish. We found Roman's fingerprints on the steering wheel of Alan Stark's car. One of the girls just got back with a report that Roman's shoe is a perfect fit in that shoe print outside Stark's garage.
I had nothing to do with this. Clara killed Hazel, then chloroformed that Stark boy and—
You're in this as far as I am, so shut up!
Oh, totes forgot to mention, Alan Stark isn't dead.
What?
The car ran out of gas just in time. He'll be there to appear against you when you're tried for murder.
Murder-suicides are usually shoot the person, shoot yourself. I don't know what you guys were thinking with the whole car thing, but it totally backfired. Ha ha! Cause cars backfire! Let's just pretend that was a bad joke from the original script.
Hello.
Hello, Elijah, honey.
I don't want to talk to you, Madison Standish.
I brought a gift.
Oh, really? What is it?
Tacos. Always wins me over.
Well, I'm busy.
Busy? Who's too busy for tacos?
The gentleman says he's busy.
Who are you?
The name's Georgina. Good night, chump.
Well, looks like Rogue lost himself another date. He's definitely one of the noir detectives that does not get the girl. Meh, I still have tacos.
Ah, little drops of rain. The stuff we're getting so much of out here in California right now.
Hey, fill those reservoirs while you can. LA has had more years with drought than we've had years with an NFL team. That rain saved Alan Stark's life. Because if I hadn't noticed those tire tracks, he would have stayed in the garage until it was too late for the Pole Motor Squad to save him. Yes, sir. Little drops of rain put the curse on what was almost a perfect double murder. Woo! Dudes, I don't know how you do it. An entire episode being a gritty chauvinist detective has been exhausting. And is this what Blue Balls feels like? Well, girls can take care of that easy. I'm gonna go for a bicycle ride. Bye! A rogues gallery is a collection of mugshots police use to identify criminals, making the show's title a play on words with the character being named Richard Rogue. The series was a summer replacement on NBC for the years 1945 to 1947. Richard Rogue was originally played by Dick Powell, who was transitioning from being a comedy song and dance man in films to a more dramatic detective type. He would later go on to star as Richard Diamond, Private Detective, a show we did last January, episode 27, which utilized his singing talents. Powell left Rogue's Gallery after the second season, and the detective was played by three other actors, ending its final full season on ABC in 1951. Hey, everybody! Hope you enjoyed our little gender swap episode of Rogue's Gallery. A big thank you to Joan Peterson for recommending this old-timey radio show. If you have a fave OTR series you want me to visit, drop me an email at madisontheair@gmail.com. And don't forget, you have until our third anniversary on February 1st, 2024, to submit your best guess for where my last name, Standish, comes from. Go to my website, madisontheair.com, to enter. Five winners will receive a Madison on the Air coffee mug, so you can have a mocha latte, even if I can't. Okay, announcer dude, let's hear those credits.
Madison on the Air was written and produced by Chrissy Talon Sage with music composition and audio engineering by Jeremy Sage. The role of Madison Standish was played by Chrissy Talon Sage. David Pinion appeared as Mr. Hazel Burgess. Other actors in the cast were Sharon Grunewald as Clara Roman, Julie Hoverson as Lieutenant Urban, Jeremy Sage as Elijah, Bonnie Brantley as Stark, Shannon Perry as the announcer and Georgina, Paul Arabisi as the call service operator, and introducing Chelsea Greer as Madison's alter ego, Nosidam.
I want you to go out there and talk to Hazel. Go out there. Paul Lynde, that would be a great character for this. Oh, I want you to go out there and talk to Hazel.